This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. During the holiday season, families often prepare for the rituals and traditions that have been passed on to them from previous generations. Or many people also develop new rituals with their children. Rituals express values that can add to a child's sense of belonging and connection. Just like having a routine, rituals offer comfort and a sense of security. I'm Nurse Rona. I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. You know, our family has a ritual of making pies together the night before Thanksgiving. I was so happy my daughter Karina was with us to core and peel the apples. And as I looked across the table at her, memories of years past came to mind. And as my husband taught a friend how to make the pie crust, I realized how meaningful this tradition is to me. Very simple, but really meaningful. There were some years when all four kids would pile in the car so we could hand out pumpkin pies to some of the homeless people in our community. So over the years, this ritual has stayed, but it's changed. Also, rituals aren't only for holidays. Everyday rituals can be as simple as a bedtime story every night after teeth are brushed and PJs are on, or a Friday game night with popcorn and pizza. It could be everyone at dinner saying something they're grateful for. Rituals can be healing during times of stress or a way to help others, like working in a food bank or at a shelter. Children often remember the rituals of their childhood more than the presents they received. Today, we'll exchange ideas for families about rituals and explore why they're important to our children. And if you want some help in developing a ritual, call us and we'll see what we can come up with. If you want to be part of this conversation, call us at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. Or you can email us anytime during the show at info@childhoodmatters.org. We have some great gifts today. We have tickets to see the Marsh Youth Theater's production of Siddhartha. We have Juno Baby CDs, DVDs, and a special gift basket from Juno, and also books on rituals and cooking and more. So wake up and give us a call. Joining us in the studio is Reverend Brenda Sharp, currently the pastor at the First Christian Methodist Episcopal Church in Modesto, California. She's also the supervisor for student programs at the Contra Costa County Office of Education and program coordinator for teen pregnancy prevention programs. Reverend Sharp is responsible for coordination of education partnerships and services. She's a curriculum trainer, classroom health facilitator, and Office of Education liaison, and an advocate for community services for low-income families. Oh, and she also volunteers for the Christmas Angel Tree Ministries National Organization that supports the children of incarcerated parents in giving of gifts and spiritual growth. Reverend Brenda Sharp is the mother of three adult children, the grandmother of 13, and now a great-grandma of one. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you so much, Rona. It is wonderful to be here this morning.
Well, you know, you're a busy woman.
Yes, I am.
You were just telling me wonderful stories about being at your great-grandchild's birth, too.
Yes.
You have your priorities right.
Yes.
Also with us this morning is Meg Cox. She's a journalist and recognized traditions authority whose books on family celebrations include the Book of New Family Traditions. She's a former reporter for the Wall Street Journal. She's written for many national magazines, including Parents and Working Mother. Meg is president of the nonprofit Alliance for American Quilting, and her most recent book is a resource guide for modern quilters called The Quilter's Catalog. You can find out more about her work, see her beautiful quilts at megcox.com, and also you can see how to purchase her teacher's manual for training families to create their own traditions. She joins us by phone from Princeton, New Jersey. Meg Cox, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm delighted to have you back again. It's been many years. Meg, let's start off with you. you wrote this book, New Family Traditions, and I'm wondering why you felt you needed to write it and what you mean by rituals and why they're important for kids.
Well, I started writing about rituals when I finally became a mother, which was kind of late in the game. And I was terrified I wouldn't be any good at it, and I decided to use my journalist skills to interview parents who were really good at tradition, and then I would teach myself and, you know, bring everybody else along for the ride. And it was an incredible education, and I have applied the things that I've learned. My son is 16 now. My stepdaughter is in her 30s, and I'm a grandmother through her to a two-year-old. So it's all come in very useful. But as for ritual, I like to use the word ritual because it's a stretchy word, and tradition, people can sometimes get overwhelmed by the notion of doing something, you know, big and fancy and churchy and whatever. And rituals can be little and they can be big. And there are things that we repeat, but with intention and with some kind of pizzazz.
I like the way you said that. We repeat it, and it's with intention. And why do you think this is important for kids? You're now with a grandchild. You see it with your other children. What gives you the sense that this is meaningful for children?
Well, it varies through life, but for little ones, you know, they don't know what's going to happen. They need a shape to their day. They need a touchstone. And I like to say that sort of one of the earliest rituals that we do without even thinking is to kiss the boo-boo.
Uh-huh.
And kissing the boo-boo when they fall down gives them the courage to jump up and keep exploring because they know we're going to be there. And that's really what rituals do in the early years, I think.
I think that I like that framing of it. And so it's little, it's big, and it really is about this intention of meaning and connection. Thank you for that. Reverend Brenda Sharp, your sense about why rituals and traditions are important for children, and maybe you can say something about how you help families think about their values and translate those into rituals.
Yes, I think it's very important for small children to have routine, and they need to know what is expected of them. It helps them to really experience and to learn about their environment and also about you as parents and families and friends and, of course, their brothers or siblings if they have any. It gives them that security that they need. It helps to develop them to discover. I like that discovery of a pattern of what the family is all about. It creates a wonderful sense of love, and it just helps them to, what we call, merge into the family and feel a part of the family.
That's so interesting. And, you know, in your past careers, I remember reading something about your work with literacy, too.
Yes.
And you work with young children a lot.
Yes.
And I just realized just that reading stories is often part of a ritual, isn't it? That,
yes.
That is very meaningful to children.
Bedtime stories are very important. Our daytime is a specific time of the day, and the children anticipate that. And it gives them, you know, they can get involved, they can create it, and they just happen to, they want to belong. Children want to feel like they're useful. If you notice that in a lot of our traditions and our rituals, children like to get involved with different events like cooking.
Right.
Even if it's something very small, I agree with Meg on that. It can be something very small to make them feel that they have accomplished a goal.
Right. And then for you in your work as a minister, there are traditions that are on a bigger scale, too, that are also really valuable for people, but I think I've come to see that it's the meaning is in the family, in the person, and there's no cookie cutter idea about what kind of rituals, what kind of traditions there should be. I'm wondering in your work how you help families kind of look at their values and think about ritual. Any ideas there for us?
Yes, in Modesto at the First Christian and Methodist this Episcopal church that I pastor, it is a very diverse congregation. And so when you have a diverse congregation, you want everyone to feel included. There are rituals. Maybe we might celebrate the Mexican Mother's Day. We might. We're getting ready right now for Advent. That is a huge event in the Christian Methodist Episcopal Church. We get the children involved where they light the candles. There are four candles, one at every service leading toward Christmas. And then we have little skits and plays, and it's just a lot of fun. You have to integrate all of the different just experiences and traditions of the family that your congregation represents.
And I'm thinking Hanukkah is starting and yes. Kwanzaa. So for some people, those holidays provide a backdrop for connection and doing things that are meaningful. And yet, at the same time, for people who don't celebrate some of these holidays, there's no reason why you can't develop your own rituals that are meaningful to you. It could be around nature. It could be about gratitude. And I think that's what we want to talk about today, is what's meaningful to you? What have you noticed that's really important for your family to do as a ritual? We'd love to hear from you. 1-877-372-KIDS. We're going to start off with our live line, Myrna, this morning, and she's calling from Salinas. Good morning, Myrna.
Good morning.
Oh, nice to hear from you.
Oh, yes, nice hearing from you.
So your children are grown, right?
Yes, they are. And I would like to share that we are a mixed family, so we have a lot of celebrations in our house, and it's very meaningful to them, I think. And they have enjoyed very much being able to share with other people the traditions that are not familiar most, you know, around Hanukkah, for instance, they get really excited that we usually have a big Hanukkah party, we don't have many family around. We don't have my family is in Mexico, and their dad's family is all back east.
Uh-huh.
So to them, having a big party means a whole lot, because we have all these friends over that otherwise we wouldn't have anybody. During Christmas, everybody's doing their own thing with their own family.
Right.
Hanukkah lasts so many days.
Right.
So we have an option of when to have a huge party, and everybody comes, everybody expects it, and they just love that. They always want to bring more friends to show them. And at this point, a lot of the friends have been to so many parties that they know all the songs already.
Right. So there's a whole tradition there with that, Myrna, which I think is again, very meaningful. When your children were young and little, did you have sort of ordinary traditions that weren't around holidays or rituals that you thought were important to them?
We, you know, around Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, we did a lot of thinking about, you know, when my dad died, and then their fraternal mother, they never met her, so we did, we put up pictures up, and
mm-hmm. An altar. You had an altar, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about their favorite food, so we would cook them, and we would just eat with their pictures.
Yeah.
And have their altars, so that was
And as a mother, I think, you know, again, you can think back and remember years, many different stages in life when you think about these rituals. I was just going to ask Meg Cox, in your book, The New Family Traditions, I don't know if you have rituals around when someone dies or the passing, because that's another thing that doesn't get addressed always. Do you have anything in your book on that?
A revised edition, and that is something important to put in. But I do have one lovely ritual that was in one of my newsletters. A woman was with her young daughter one day, and the mother was very sad, and the little girl said, "Mommy, what's the matter?" And the mother said, it's my dad. It would have been my dad's birthday, and he's passed on, and I really miss him, and that makes me sad. And the little girl, who was like 3 or 4 at the time, said, well, you know what we should do? We should go make cupcakes, and we should bring a cupcake outside. We should put a candle in it and light it, and you know, Poppy's in the wind now, and he'll blow it out.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
That's beautiful.
That's a good one.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. Well, Myrna, I was just thinking about what I want to give you today. We have some gifts to give away. I have a book called Teaching Kids to Love the Earth, Sharing a Sense of Wonder. I'm thinking that because I know you're out in the community, and even though your children are grown, I think this would be a lovely book to share with people in your life and your extended family and your friends. And Meg is going to also send us some of her mini versions of her book, The New Family Tradition. So we'll also send you one of those. And I wish you a wonderful week. When does Hanukkah start, Myrna?
Well, this year starts very early.
Like Wednesday, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So have a lovely celebration with your family.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling this morning. You know, I think, Reverend Sharp, when we look at rituals, again, so much is around the religious holidays, too, for people. Is there any word of caution that you have or notice for people around not getting too stressed and too materialistic around these holidays?
Yes, I think that in an economy that we have today where everyone, you know, a lot of people are just downsizing and they're blending their holiday traditions. It was interesting to me that I was reading that in the month of October that we had 1 in 5 jobs that were created in a temporary agency. So that actually changed the tradition of many families. Many families will have to work during the holidays, and they were not able to attend the usual church activities that we have, and they may want, like Thanksgiving, for example. They celebrated Thanksgiving maybe on a Friday or Monday to get the family together, and the tradition of having it on Thanksgiving Day has changed. Some take and they make small events. They break it down into small events to get involved. Everyone cannot attend the family's celebrations, and managers even that work in these high-stress jobs, they are working to get extra money, but they really can't spend it on gifts like maybe they did several years ago. So they have to create, just new traditions and new ways of how to celebrate.
Well, that's the whole idea, too, around the holidays, is for us to talk about the fact that those connections, the things you do with your family, is what children really do remember. They may be asking for the iPod, but it is the experiences that are also extremely important. And I think that I just want to keep reminding parents of not to let the stress of feeling like you have to buy, get in the way of really the meaning of ritual and tradition. Meg, you want to jump in there on that too?
Yeah, well, I think there are just lots of different ways to do it. And when you have a family, and you know, some of the people, particularly maybe don't have jobs, I think you want to do a shared grab bag gifting, and you want to have set a very low amount, and you do a theme like food, where you can get very creative, interesting things that don't cost a lot. But you know, in my first book, I talked to a family that had gone through really rough economic times where there was no job, and they made do, and they did it partly with a sense of humor. They got each other, you know, small things like nightgowns and underwear, and they put them in these big boxes, and then they'd have a picture taped to the outside of a really expensive item, and so they would laugh about it. I'm giving you a flannel nightgown, but, you know, let's pretend it's the iPod or the Barbie dream house or whatever. And, you know, they still remember those days fondly because they were just, it was fun.
Right. And that's why when I see, you know, the news about, you know, people going shopping at 4 a.m. and crowds and people getting trampled and they're rushing in to get these, you know, I know they need to save money and the sales are good, but I just want to encourage everyone to slow down a little and think about what's really important with your family and for children. And we're talking about rituals and holidays. In a moment, we'll take your call.
listening to Childhood Matters.
Information for your kids.
For your family.
For you.
Give us a call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
The conversation continues after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Explore downtown Los Altos for the Festival of Lights Parade. There will be live entertainment, music, and more today, November 28 at 6. For more information, visit losaltosparade.com. That's losaltosparade.com. Check out the Exploratorium and explore their new exhibits. Free admission is offered Wednesday, December 1 from 10 to 5. For more information, call 415-561-0399. That's 415-561-0399. Join Nurse Rona for a free workshop about discipline sponsored by First Five Alameda. Thursday, December 2nd from 9 to noon. Call now to register, 510-875-2453. That's 510-875-2453. Visit the Museum of Children's Art in San Francisco for Saturday stories and hear the adventures of Artichoke Boy, Saturday, December 4 from 1 to 2. For more information, call 510-465-8770. That's 510-465-8770. Participate in a holiday parade in downtown Santa Cruz. There will be music and family activities following the festivities on Saturday, December 4 from 10 to noon. For more information, call 831-429-8433. That's 831-429-8433. The Monterey Bay Aquarium is offering free admission to residents of Monterey County beginning Saturday, December 4 through Sunday, December 12. For more information, call 831-648-4800. That's 831-648-4800. For additional information, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org, and to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Zan West.
Are you pregnant and thinking about how you will feed your new baby? Breast milk is the perfect nutrition right from the start. It's free, always ready, and supports growth and brain development. In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends only breast milk for the first 6 months of a baby's life. Breastfed babies have fewer illnesses and fewer trips to the doctor. Mothers who breastfeed lose pregnancy weight faster and have lower risk for breast and ovarian cancers. Be sure to tell your health provider that you want to breastfeed your baby.
Made possible by your local First Five.
Your public library is home to valuable and free local resources. Here are some tips to introduce children to the library. Visit often. Have the librarian recommend books specific to your child's interests. Get children involved by letting them choose books to read. Get a library card for your child and help them check out books. Ask about weekly story times and activities. Many offer free opportunities for young children to listen to storytellers and participate in art projects and singing. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
So today we're talking with Reverend Brenda Sharp, pastor at the First Christian Methodist Episcopal Church in Modesto and supervisor for student programs at the Contra Costa County Office of Education, and Meg Cox, a journalist and recognized traditions authority and author of the Book of New Family Traditions. I just want to say we have some beautiful gifts. So Juno Baby, I got really hooked on this music. It's CDs and DVDs and beautiful dolls. It's real original music. And each piece is written by the acclaimed composer, Dr. Belinda Takahashi. And the music is performed by live orchestral musicians. So here are these CDs and DVDs of, you know, that children love, wonderful stories about Juno and her friends. But the beautiful music, it's thoughtful and lovely. And so I think our next caller will give a wonderful gift basket for Juno. We also have passes to give away to anyone who calls in to Prince Siddhartha. This is at the Marsh Theater. It's a youth production about Siddhartha's journey to become Buddha. And at the same time, there's a young girl in San Francisco, Chandra, who is looking and seeing how the material things in her life are not so meaningful, and she's on her own journey. So call us with your questions. questions, and we'd love to hear from you and send you a gift. We have Robbie on the line with us from Oakland. Good morning, Robbie.
Good morning.
Ah, there's that voice I love. How's it going, Robbie?
Wow, you're making me have a big smile on my face over here.
That's good.
it's going pretty good. I just wanted to say happy holidays to the entire Childhood Matters staff.
Thank you, Robbie. And same to you.
Thank you. And what I wanted to share this morning was, as far as family traditions, something that my family and I have been doing for years, since I was, you know, a little boy. At Thanksgiving, we usually, a large group of my family members, relatives, and friends, we usually meet up at a certain relative's house. And at that time, we put everybody's name in a hat or what have you, and we pull names. And the name that you pull is the person that you buy a Christmas gift for. So at Christmas time, when we get together at, you know, another family member's house, that's when we exchange the gifts for, you know, whoever's name we pull. And usually, like, the youngest person in the family sits in front of the Christmas tree and reads the reads the names of the gifts off and, you know, hands them out. So
yes, and this way, in terms of these economic times, too, you know, we've done this for a few years also, where, you know, we don't need to be spending a lot of money on gifts, but the joy of sitting together and opening a gift is still there. So I think that's a really nice tradition. I'm sure, Brenda, for you, too, you work with a lot of families who, you know, just can't afford to spend $2,000 on buying gifts for their whole family.
That's correct. And I think it's very important that we stress and put limits so that small children can get involved in the giving, and set a limit on the amount that you're going to spend for these gifts. We had a situation in Modesto where there was a family. They didn't even have electricity, no PG&E for this past week for Thanksgiving. So the neighbors and the church came together, and each family brought food and things that the family would need, toothpaste, a soap, detergent that the family would need, and each person could participate, and the children could come along also and be a part of that giving.
How old are your children, Robbie?
2 and 6.
So there are lots of rituals that you can begin to develop with them. I want to ask Meg Cox here, you know, when you think about a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, I'm just looking at your book here. Is there anything that you'd like to point out about a Christmas tradition or holiday tradition that you've liked over the years?
Well, things. And one is that 2's pretty young, but they start to get crafty early, and it's great to have them make a craft and have a day where they can make gifts for other people. I know one family where on St. Nicholas Day, which is what, like December 6th or something, the kids get some kind of a craft kit, and they're all excited about getting a gift, but it's really a means for them to make presents for other people, and that way they don't need to have money to give.
Right. We used to do cookies sometimes other things that the children love cooking, and they like to do things. Robbie, is there anything that you do with the kids?
Well, we're constantly in the kitchen, you know, especially during these holiday times, a lot of cooking for other people as well as our own family. But my kids, they're really motivated to, seems like at times, self-motivated to really, you know, come into the kitchen and, you know, try to learn as much as they can, or, you know, be involved. And like when we have breakfast and I cook eggs, you know, and my daughter asks me, "Daddy, what do we have for breakfast?" And I'm saying eggs and this and that. And she says, well, the first thing she says was, "Daddy, can I stir the eggs? Can I?"
Yeah.
You know, so,
yes.
So
right. That
know.
Becomes rituals too. Of
right.
When I cook
right.
pancakes or eggs,
right.
I do.
Right.
And
right.
you have and I remember from previous calls, Robbie, that you have a family of who are great cooks. So.
Yeah, I would like to think so.
Yeah. So you have something great, good to pass on to your kids there.
Right. And you know, as the Nurse Rona, as the years go on. Unfortunately, you know, we have family members that pass on, so that, you know, it's important that we, as the family members pass on, it's important that we pass down the things that we've learned, you know, from these, you know, older, more wiser family members that are, you know, later on down the road are going to help us with our families and, you know, help our kids learn about compassion and humanity and so on and so forth. So, you know, everything that I come in contact with, I almost automatically try to use it as a tool, if you will, not to sound so hardcore military, you know, but I just try to use it as a tool to help shape my kids, you know, as much as I can.
That's right. Well, that's it. That's about values and passing on. And the best thing you can do with them is be in connection with them, doing things with them, Robbie. You said it very beautifully. I'd like to give you our Juno basket. So this is a basket with a Juno doll, DVDs, CDs that you are going to love because it's classical music, but a lot of fun. Both of your kids will like these. And I just want to hear from you down the line of what you think of it, because I got one and my grandson Maceo plays it, and when I go over, he says, my music, and it's quite beautiful. So take a listen and let us know what you think of them. And Robbie, just have a wonderful week, and I just always appreciate hearing from you. Take good care now.
Good, I will, and I thank you, and I appreciate everything.
Okay, bye-bye, Robbie.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Pick up the phone and get involved. Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-KIDS.
Let's take another call. We have Jenny from Kensington on the line with us. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning. My brother took his own life in May of 08, and he had two kids. One was 10 at the time and one 15. And since then, every Thanksgiving, we go to the beach in Aptos area in Santa Cruz. And a lot of the families of his widow, they were in a Catholic church, and they come together and boil turkey and barbecue it from very early in the morning. And then we all come together at that beach place. So this has been the third Thanksgiving just now to go there, and then
Jenny
and the little kids love it because they run around, and you know, his children are now his son is 13 and his daughter is 18 now.
See, this is so meaningful that the children can be with family around something that's a tragedy, you know, a death, and yet not be afraid to honor a family member and come together. That's probably, you know, just lovely on one hand and sad on the other hand. Is that right?
I didn't hear the last question.
That on one hand it must be lovely and fun, and on the other hand sad, and that's the reality after the death of someone.
Looking out on the ocean is calming and helps you feel you're part of something much bigger.
Yes.
So maybe your story can still go on, even though it's sad. And the kids have a certain motive, a certain energy to them that can't be calmed down. When you get a kid toward the beach, boy, they just need to run out and splash around and make sandcastles and all sorts of things and play football. And
yes.
So there's it doesn't have that solemn attitude of everyone sitting around a table and quietly acknowledging everything, which I miss in some ways, but there are ways to work around it. I think it's such a big loss in the family that it's this is a good way to get around that.
And especially for the children, because children don't mourn the same way that adults do. They really do need that that sense of connection and play. Reverend Sharp?
Yes, I think that's wonderful, Jenny, what you're doing. It is important for the children. Not only will they remember the name whether they knew the individual or not, they will remember each event, and it will bring joy to them to give them a unique expression on life. I know that even with myself, after I lost my brother, I have a tradition, and I actually did his eulogy, and I titled it Got Milk, because he loved that commercial. So yearly, what I've decided to do is I preach a sermon, and the title is called Got Milk. And it's something personal. The congregation doesn't know, but my family members know. And when they hear that expression of Got Milk, they know that it's remembering my brother. So I do appreciate what you're doing.
You know, Jenny, I really am so grateful for you to call in also, because these are hard subjects, you know, for people to talk about. And yet the celebration of life is part of also the mourning of death. They're very circular and connected. I have a couple of videos. You have a 4 and 6-year-old, it looks like. So we have Juno Jr. For the older child, and Juno's Rhythm Adventure. They're really beautiful music, and I'd love to hear from you and let me know how you like them. Thank you for your call.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks.
Yeah, have a great day. We're going to take a listen to what some other parents had to say about the holidays and rituals.
Our producer, Felsha Zuschlag, spoke with some parents about their holiday rituals and traditions.
I'm a Hindu, so of course we observe some of the Hindu festivals, you know, the worshipping the deities and all twice a year, the key festivals. To the extent possible, I still try to encourage observing that, so we still take my child to the temples and all on the key festivals. And my better half is Jewish, so we call my daughter, she's a Hindu, and she observes lighting the candles every Friday, the Shabbat, and she observes the Hanukkah. So we make sure that for those 8 days of Hanukkah, we are lighting all those the candles and getting those every night, a gift night and all that. So we observe that. So the key Hindu and key Jewish festivals, we observe all of them at home, just so that she knows what her roots are. And when she grows up, she has a full, complete right to choose what she wants to be. She wants to be Catholic after all that. That's fine too. As long as she believes in something, that's fine. But she got to, what we want to teach her is that there's something good about having a set of beliefs. I would want her to be open to just about everything. I mean, she goes to a school where she has pretty much people from every religion, every background. I'm a Hindu, I eat steak. So she's Jewish, and I've seen her eating pork, so not to say, but we really don't really care about all that. I want her to be a logical and analytical person, and grow with a set of beliefs she's comfortable with, and she's, at the same time, she's respectful of others at the same time. So if somebody believes in something else, she should understand that, and she should be sensitive to that, and she should be respectful of that.
We were Catholic, and so I grew up in a sort of really active extended family, and we socialized all the time, weekends and holidays, but almost always with family, and I'm not going to be able to replicate that. It's hard when people are spread out all over, not just all over the U.S., but the U.S. and Canada, but we're doing our best to introduce him to his extended family, and to make sure that he visits twice a year with my brothers and their kids. Aside from that, we don't have a whole lot. We're just going to sort of develop it as we go along, I guess. I hope he knows that there are a lot of people who care about him, not just his father and me. I'd like him to feel connected to not just to the two of us and our friends in San Francisco or in the Bay Area, but to his family wherever they are.
From everyone at Childhood Matters, happy holidays.
Thank you for that, and I really like hearing from the parents about the way things are different and they change things up. Meg Cox, any response to what some of these parents said, especially the ones who are far away from their family?
Oh, I think it is hard when you're far away, and that's one of the ways in which technology can help us, I think. I think people have actually developed rituals around doing Skype phone calls and sending photos on their phones and things like this, which actually can help us. And to that, it's good to add, you know, actually getting together when you can, but, you know, you were talking about baking the pies.
Yes.
I know families who bake pies all over the country.
And then send them out.
Well, no, but who make them at the same time on the same day in a different city.
Oh, my God. That is wonderful. That's another ritual. Let's talk some more as soon as we get back from our break.
And get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
It's never too early to prepare your child for the transition to kindergarten. For many children, the first day of school can be scary. Here are some tips to ease the transition. Read about school. Go to your local library and check out books about starting school. These books can show how other children work through their fears of going to a new classroom. Read these stories with your child and encourage questions. Talk about school. Conversations about school help your child know what to expect and ease fears. Talk about the classroom, teacher, and daily routine. Help build your child's confidence by listening to their fears or doubts. Visit the school. Before classes are in session, plan a fun outing to show your child the school grounds and answer their questions. Kindergarten registration has begun. Call your neighborhood school or district office to inquire about the registration process. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
I'm Nurse Rona. December is a time for families to celebrate the holidays, and although these are often fun and meaningful times, it can also be a time of increased stress. Shopping, relatives visiting, cleaning, cooking, and losing sleep over your bank account are also a part of the holiday season. Stress can cause physical symptoms such as headaches, stomach aches, increased blood pressure, general fatigue, or insomnia. If you notice the tension rising, take a break. Make a list of priorities. Talk to a friend, go for a walk, make a cup of tea, and don't forget to take a deep breath. If you do have symptoms that don't go away with rest, call your doctor. The greatest gift you can give the people who love you and to yourself is to stay relaxed and healthy for the holidays. This Childhood Matters health tip has been made possible by a grant from Kaiser Permanente, Northern California.
What a day. From the grocery store to the doctor's office, it's nice to sit back and let Sophia play.
Definitely, but I feel it's important to have the kids in special programs. I'm always learning how competitive school is, even at this young age.
Me too. I worry I'm not doing enough to teach Sophia the skills she'll need, even though she's just 4. I read an article yesterday that said play is a great way for children to learn.
So you're telling me that when my kids play at preschool or at home, they're learning something?
The article said play is the way children develop their understanding of the world. So when kids play with friends or pretend to count money or rhyme words or build with blocks, they're actually learning in different ways, socially, physically, and intellectually. They learn how to think critically and problem solve, making them more confident.
That makes sense. The other day, Danny was so proud when he and Sophia built a fire station in the sandbox. He is learning when he's having fun, so we can relax and encourage the learning they do when they play.
Mommy, Mommy, look what I made!
Wow, you built a ramp to make your cars race faster.
This message brought to you by the Early Childhood Funders. Play. It's the way young children learn.
Continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
We're talking about values and rituals and traditions, and today we're talking with Reverend Brenda Sharp, pastor at the First Christian Methodist Episcopal Church in Modesto, and supervisor for student programs at the Contra Costa County Office of Education, and Meg Cox, a journalist and recognized traditions authority and author of the book of New Family Traditions. And we're talking with you. Let's just hop in here and take some more calls. We have Susanna now from Concord with us. Hi, Susanna. Thank you for joining us this morning. Susanna on the line there?
Yes.
Oh, hi. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling because, you know, I haven't found listening to this rituals, family traditions. There's something that a lot of families are forgetting about.
Yes.
I'm talking about my Latinos or Mexicans about traditions that I had. My mom, you know, my mom's past that we had when we was little. And so I want to share one of the ones that we made up
yes.
in my family.
Go ahead.
My kids were telling me that how come it's Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas Day, Thanksgiving Day, and all of that? How come it's there's no Brother's Day?
Brother's Day. Oh, I like that.
So we made up a day. We just say, okay, this day is going to be Brother's Day, and every year we're going to celebrate Brother's Day.
I love it. What do they do on Brother's Day?
When they were little, because they have no money, for the first year, I gave them money so they can give a gift to each other.
Uh-huh.
And then they go by, this day we're not going to argue. We're going to be nice to each other, or we're going to make a drawing and give it to my brother. And so they do something good or something special to each other.
That is wonderful, Susanna. I love it. How long have they been doing it for?
My older's 18, and he was 9.
Oh.
My middle son was 5.
Uh-huh.
And so I have another baby, so he's probably going to be in Brother's Day this year.
That is a great one. Meg Cox, do you have Brother's Day in your new family traditions book?
I don't. I do have Kids' Day, but I think Brother's Day is wonderful.
Yeah, I like it too. Well, I'm going to send you some gifts for calling in this morning. You know, we have tickets to the Marsh Theater. I think your older children would love this production of Siddhartha and The Bright Path. You can talk to our producers about when the dates are. It will be musical. There's dancing and music. I think you'd like it a lot. And then also we have Juno Baby for your youngest child, a CD of really special music and fun. Thank you, Susanna. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's take a call now. We have Emily from the Marsh Theater with us. Oh, good morning, Emily.
Hi, Rona. How are you?
I'm good.
Good morning. I just wanted to thank you for letting people know about Siddhartha, The Bright Path, which is at the Marsh Theater in San Francisco. And this came about as part of a ritual as well, because you know, a lot of people like to take their kids to the Nutcracker or the Christmas Carol as part of their holiday ritual.
Yeah.
Time spending. But for those of us like myself who don't celebrate Christmas, this is always a little bit of a hard thing for us that we didn't really have a place to take our children every year to see something with good values and kind of the spirit of the holidays. So that was one of the reasons I was inspired to develop this show about the boy who became the Buddha and a girl who is looking at his at material possessions and wondering if it's really helping her in a meaningful way to acquire gifts and things like that. So that's kind of why the show developed. So.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And from what I understand, I'm going to come see it. And I understand there's even a Bollywood dance and music. So anyone listening can go to the Marsh
youththeater.org. Yes, it is based in India. The story of Siddhartha is based in India, so we're using a lot of Indian music and dance, and yes, a Bollywood scene, and then the places, the other location is San Francisco, so we're using kind of modern and contemporary music for that.
Good.
If you go to themarsh.org, you'll see it right on the front page, Siddhartha, The Bright Path.
Thank you so much, Emily, and thank you for these tickets.
Okay,
we're going to take some more calls now. Looks like we have Shane with us from San Rafael. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, Rona. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So you have something called Baby Cuisine Cookbook.
Correct.
And how does this fit with ritual?
Well, I believe that with the Baby Cuisine Cookbook and teaching, inspiring parents to make food for the entire family, including baby. So from a tradition standpoint, it's just involving the kids, involving even baby, believe it or not, in the cooking process starts that tradition. I think us as a society have gotten away from food and where food comes from, and so, you know, it's getting back to basics, teaching kids that food comes from the ground, you know, not from a box. And so through the, let's say, this holiday season, is to involve them in the cooking process and let them touch the carrots. If you're going to make some kind of carrot side dish, or you know, smell if they're babies, let them smell the herbs and make the connection that you know that food is multisensory and it has a smell and it has a texture and it has a taste, and just getting them involved.
Yes, you
know, that life happens at their kitchen table. So. Let's get everyone involved, including kids.
That sounds wonderful. And, you know, I was just thinking, Suzanne called a few minutes ago, and she has a baby. I think we're going to send her a copy of the Baby Cuisine Cookbook. I think this is really important. So many rituals are connected with food. Meg, as we're winding up here, maybe you could add to that what Shane is saying about that in terms of food and your new family traditions book.
Well, I think it's food is really, you know, it touches all our senses, and the smells of the holidays are so important, and as we were talking earlier, getting the kids involved in whatever way. I know sort of my son has a ritual, even though he's a teenager now. We always make Christmas cookies together, and he always frosts the first one and puts every type of sprinkle there is until it's, you know, piled high, and that's the first cookie he eats. So, I mean, that's not exactly... you know, eco-friendly or anything. But I think it is important to get kids engaged.
Yes.
And the sooner they do get involved in actually preparing the food, I think that's wonderful.
Shane, how can people find out about you online?
So it's thebabycuisinecookbook.com.
Okay.
We also are on Facebook, and our book in the Bay Area is available at Whole Foods Markets.
Great.
And also online on Amazon.com.
Well, I'm looking at the pictures, and I just think they're wonderful and healthy, and I appreciate the work you're doing. Maybe we'll talk again soon. Thank you, Shane.
Thank you so much, Rona.
The Baby Cuisine. Reverend Sharp, as we finish up here, a final word for parents about traditions and holidays and rituals.
I think the most important thing I want to tell the families this morning is just to have fun with their traditions and know that new traditions are always evolving. It is important to communicate with your children. Ask your children just about the last holiday, if you celebrated Thanksgiving, what is it that they liked about this holiday? What did they enjoy doing? And then take that and make that a new tradition to make sure that that's inclusive in the next fun event.
So actually talk to your kids and ask them about
communicate
what they
with
feel
them,
and
yes.
what they think and,
yes.
and stop and don't rush so much, right?
Yes.
Oh, Reverend Sharp, it's such a pleasure to see you as yes. always. Thank you so much
Thank
for being
for
here with us
me.
Today. Meg Cox, give us another example before we finish of one of your favorite family traditions that don't have to do with the holidays from your book. Can you think of one that you love?
Oh, that don't have to do with the holidays. Man.
Yeah. switching gears on you, am I?
I know. You are switching gears on me, so let me think. I would say anything that where you watch your kids grow and change, something that you do every year, and so you can, you know, record how their tastes have changed. And it is a holiday one, but we always do our New Year's resolutions together. And it's so great to save them from the year before and all the years before, and you sit and you read the years before, last year's, and see how you did. But you're also laughing at how you've changed. And the only message that I would like to leave people with, similar to the Reverend, is to have fun and remember that the fun holidays in future years will be the ones where the dog ate the cake. So just go with it, and you know, don't mourn, don't get uptight if things are not perfect, because that's a good memory that you got through it together with a laugh.
That's right. And sometimes those, you know, when things don't go perfect, they don't go well, is what also we laugh and we remember. And I just remember my kids fighting over which Christmas tree they wanted to get. And we laughed about that in retrospect. So keep it light, keep it fun, keep it connected. Thank you so much, Meg Cox. I hope to talk to you again when your new book is back and out. So you're doing a revised version, but people can also find you on the website at megcox.com. Is that right?
That's correct.
Thank you. Have a wonderful holiday season.
You too.
And for all of you, keep breathing, look outside, spend time outside with your children, and have fun and play. So I love my Sunday morning ritual here. I want to thank our guests, and I want to thank all of our listeners. I'm grateful to our team, producers Felsha Zuschlag, Zan West, and Lorenzo Plazola at the controls. And my gratitude to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina, and my husband, Mick, and my grandsons. This is Rona saying goodbye until next week. And remember, spend time with your children, and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media. Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.